Hello, my name is Shahe Jurgen, and I'm here with our second article in this series from the Christian's Expositor Journal on the eldership. Today's article is by Ron Corder. Brother Ron challenges us to think about our perspective as it pertains to the eldership qualifications. How do we view the qualifications? Are they merely a list by which we grade men and ascertain whether they are fit for the job or unfit? Or is the Holy Spirit trying to reveal something more deep about the nature of elders, their work, and their relationship to the congregation? We hope that you will enjoy and study further what Ron has to say. I'm also excited because recently I acquired a digital copy of Brother Wayne McCamey's excellent recording of the New Testament from the King James Version. Whenever I have a lengthy scripture reading in these articles, I'm going to defer to Wayne and allow him to read those scriptures for us. We want to acknowledge that there's historic controversy about some of the elder qualifications, and the views expressed by the authors of these articles may not reflect the views of those associated with Christian Landmark. But we still believe them worthy of study, so we hope you'll enjoy and share.
Lord, take control.
One's Perspective on Eldership by Ron Corder. It is not difficult to define the word qualify or qualification from a secular dictionary. Qualify is to make fit or capable, as for an office, function, occupation, or privilege. Qualification is the act of qualifying or the state of being qualified. It is what fits a person for a particular task or to partake in a given function. So understanding the qualifications becomes important to every person. Furthermore, defining of the terms referencing the appointed elders is important, for it reveals various aspects of their functions and relationships to the congregation. But prior to a detailed study of terms of reference like elders, bishops, or pastors, and sundry qualification regarding one's spiritual, social, or moral qualities, we ask you to evaluate your overall perspective regarding the eldership. For example, do you examine the qualifications with the main thought being grading the man or protecting the work? Are the lists of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 placed there to grade men, promote men in the kingdom, or are they there to glean God's wisdom regarding the protecting of the work and the church? Do we think first of these qualifications as the teaching of scriptures to mature a body, to keep an ordained work from going astray, and to keep a difficult task less difficult, Hebrews 13:17, or possibly even destructive? Ponder, if you will, for a moment, the thrust of the qualifications listed are not simply for the grading of men. We know judgments involve comparisons, but we need to be keenly aware of our motivation and purpose where comparisons are essential. The words of 2 Corinthians 10:12 through 15 come to mind.
For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you.
This warning is ever applicable for the assurance of a peaceful body and each member of the body being effective in adding to the fullness of the body. See 1 Corinthians 12:18 through 20, Ephesians 4:16. Therefore, it seems better to approach and perceive the qualifications from the perspective or thrust of being published by the Holy Spirit to preserve and protect the work and the church, rather than simply grading men. We would like to think this perspective aids us in being more objective in our examination of the scriptures on the eldership, and less tainted by subjective, preconceived notions of the eldership. Let the reader not misunderstand us. This understanding of the thrust for the qualifications does not mean we take the qualifications any less seriously, nor does it mean a man can be appointed to the eldership if his character and ability has not already attained the inspired listing. The qualifications published by the Holy Spirit is the revealed wisdom of God, saying, "Knowing what I know of men and their nature, and knowing what the Lord's will is for the church, let us abide by these teachings." Acts 20:28. The foresight of the Holy Spirit is keenly aware of the difficulty of keeping the covenant people of God within the boundaries of the covenant, and even the difficulties faced by a mature leadership in a mature body. So these qualifications are absolutely necessary. He that hath ears, let him hear. The implication is that the Holy Spirit prefers a church without appointed elders if these qualifications are not found within the body, as they strive to maturity as a congregation. If these qualifications were not met, God in His wisdom saw the work not protected and the church opening the door for unseen difficulty. The work of the eldership without scriptural guidance and adherence would not provoke care and growth, but eventually become a part of the problem of an unhealthy body. History would concur with this analysis. The church is not a legislative body, so the role of eldership is to see what is already legislated is upheld. This calls for a knowledge of the scriptures, Titus 1:9, 1 Timothy 3:2, but also brings to mind an ancient aphorism, "Who is wise? He who can see what has already been born." Leadership does not have to be prophetic, but it is responsible for what is happening now. Bygone years revealed the desire for eldership was often simply due to a negative experience. For example, the stuffed ballot box in a business meeting over an emotional subject. The problem was carnality, and a carnal church will not solve its problems of carnality by simply appointing an eldership. It will simply cultivate an environment of the rebellious and factious spirit, stirring more hostility. The magic wand concept has often been entertained. Let us have elders and send them so we don't have to be concerned. It is true, a mature eldership can and does eliminate much confusion when problems arise. But on the contrary, how can an eldership be effective if the members of the body don't want to recognize each member of the body has a role in the overall health of the body? Eldership should be viewed as an endeavor to enhance our individual responsibilities through mature leadership and not to escape individual spiritual responsibilities. We all desire a congregational atmosphere of pleasantness, but the attitude expressed in the magic wand concept is never healthy for the church or mature in the desire for elders. This perspective of not grading the man, but protecting the work, seems worthy of some reflection when we consider the grace-faith paradigm. While the grace-faith paradigm recognizes the variable of esteeming men for their work's sake, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13, it shies away from grading men by mere comparison. Jesus made this principle clear in his teaching on the first shall be last and the last shall be first. We should never divorce ourselves from the grace-faith foundation underlying all our scriptural pursuits. Luke 17:10.
So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do."
Matthew 20:13-14.
But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee."
Romans 3:27.
Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith.
Ephesians 2:10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Eldership is not to be ignored. It is an essential part of the spiritual growth of a congregation and the kingdom. The best preparation for congregational acceptance and development of eldership is teaching done prior to the day it is announced we need to appoint elders. The prior preparation permits for a time of careful review of the scriptural teaching with the congregation, rather than the first time the membership is introduced to the subject. It is needful to think about preparing a congregation for eldership, just as we think of qualifying men for the eldership. This will help to alleviate unnecessary conflicts when it is determined to seek appointing an eldership and make it a profitable, joyful experience of growth for the whole congregation. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you." This passage, along with verse 7, speaks of leadership in general and the relationship between leadership and the congregation, 1 Peter 5, 1-4. So it is certainly applicable to the eldership. We might enhance our perspective of eldership through Hebrews 13:17 by illustration of the parent-child relationship. Parents have the huge responsibility of watching over the nourishing of their children's spiritual development. When children are responsive, it is a relationship of joy. But when it isn't, it brings groaning and unnecessary grief. The relationship of elders and the congregation take on much of the same spiritual dynamic. Therefore, let us approach the subject of eldership with the molding of the Scriptures to make it a profitable experience for all. The effectiveness of the local congregation will be expanded. The God of heaven and earth will be given His due glory, and we shall entertain a hope that maketh not ashamed.